Luke chapter number 17, and we'll begin reading at verse number 5. Luke 17, verse 5. We'll read down through verse 10. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, and when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird myself, thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did those things which were commanded him? I trow not, or I know not, I think not. Or trow means think. Verse 10, so likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. The apostles made many requests of the Savior, and perhaps one of the most important requests they ever made was this request made right here in Luke 17, verse 5, and he said, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. What they were asking was, give us more faith. Lord, please give us more faith. But it's interesting what the Lord's answer was here in these verses. Now, I want to preach a message in the short amount of time I have here called Increased Faith, Increased Faith. And let's just have a quick word of prayer to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord for it. All right, Heavenly Father, we just come to you now for help. Lord, as I preach the word, I need you. I can't do it without you, Lord. And everyone in this room, they have ears to hear. They have to have it because you've given them to them, Lord. I pray you help us to walk out that back door, the side door, this other side door, any door we walk out tonight. Different, changed, better, learning how to have more faith, learning to be a soul winner, learning to watch who our friends are, and there's different messages we've heard today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
He didn't tell them to go to the local faith service. He didn't tell them to listen to the faith seminar on the air. He didn't tell them to make some pilgrimage. And he didn't tell them to watch the 700 Club either. He didn't tell them to go down to the local Christian bookstore and buy the latest book from Dr. So-and-so. And he didn't tell them to do any of those things, nor anything like them. Jesus' answer was straight and to the point. They said, increase my faith, Lord, increase our faith. How do we get more faith? We all want more faith, don't we? Do we want to believe God and believe the things of God and really have strong faith and be strong Christians of character and have good faith? And we need our strength increased, but it doesn't come from those things. What did Jesus tell his disciples after they made that request, increase our faith? He gave three examples of different situations, and the first one was, his first example was found in Luke 17:6. He said, and the Lord said, right where we just read in our text, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You know what he was doing here? First of all, he was showing them what they could not do, because they couldn't do that. And neither can anyone in this room. You know, we have the sycamine, or the mustard seed, and you can learn about it in another parable. It's one of the smallest of all seeds. And Brother Upperbrook told me he did a study on it, and truly it is a small seed. But if we had just faith that small, he said, we can tell that tree, get up and go in that water. But we don't have that. And that's what he was trying to show the disciples. When they asked him, increase our faith, he was saying, you don't have it. Because he said, if ye had, in verse 6. See, if their faith was the way that it should have been, Jesus was telling them their faith was very small and ineffective. You know, this was meant to cut them in any way. And just like tonight, if I say that about us, it's not to cut us. It's just to make a statement of fact, proving it. If we had faith, a little bit of faith, Jesus said, we can tell that sycamine tree to move into the ocean. So in reality, we all got to admit, we have little faith, every one of us. You know, he told them that their faith was, it was only as small as that sycamine tree. It would jump into the sea and obey him. But yet it seems impossible to us today, don't it? Come on, it's impossible to me. But that's what Jesus said. So that was his first example. He was kind of showing them what they couldn't do and what we can't do. And his second example was, Now I can take a drink of this. Found in Luke 17, the same text now in verse 7 through 9. And I'll read it. He said, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and would rather not say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I think not." See, he showed them what they could do now in this part. This is something they could do. These are examples Jesus gave them now when he said, increase thy faith. He showed them what they couldn't do. Now he showed them what they could do. What could he do? Verses 7 and 9 tell of a servant who was asked to obey his master. And he did obey his master just as he was told. The apostles found it hard for a sycamine tree to obey, but they did not find it hard for the servant to obey his master. So we can obey our master. So Jesus is trying to teach us something here now. And his third example was found in Luke 17 in verse 10. And it says, I believe it's one of our theme verses years ago. We used to have it on the wall back there, Luke 17:10, on duty. It says, "So likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." And we all know that, no, Dr. Jack Hiles, no, he preached a famous sermon on that. But finally now, what did Jesus do? He said, okay, this is what you can't do. This is what you can do. And now he applied the answer, and he made an application in their lives. He said, notice, in verse 10, he said, likewise. Okay, now you. Okay, I said these things to you. Now likewise you. You want to increase faith? He was saying, in answer to the apostles' request for increased faith, this is how it was for them to do it. Obey. How would this increase their faith? Obey. And he said, notice a few things first that Jesus did not do, okay? He didn't define faith to them. He did not give them examples of great men and women of faith. He did not take them to the seminar on faith. He didn't say to them, let's make this a matter of prayer. He didn't even tell them that they had to really believe that things would happen before they would happen. He didn't say, like some people today say, just name it and claim it, or now the charismatics are starting to say, blab it and grab it. You know? It's not what he said. He didn't say that. Jesus increased their faith by showing them that faith is not so much a matter of strong believing, but a matter of simple obedience. Like the sycamine tree that obeyed the one praying. If he had faith strong enough, it would have moved. Like the servant who simply obeyed his master. So what was it that Jesus wanted the apostles to learn about increased faith? What did he want them to learn? What was he trying to teach them? You know, Bible faith is what many Christians struggle with. A lot of us struggle with true Bible faith. A lot of the problems in our life are based because we have lack of true Bible faith. I'm not just using this room. The views in this room are great. You're here. You came through cold weather, and you came to church, and week in and week out, you've been coming and serving in your ministries, but where is everybody else? The pews are half empty. Where is the others? Where are they? Because they struggle. They struggle mightily with true Bible faith. They struggle. You know, it's difficult for us and many of them to come up with even enough, the amount, the size of a little mustard seed. Think about that. Now, every Christian can have Bible faith, though. Jesus said it. He said, if, that means you can do this now, if. He said it was possible, if. This meant that they didn't even have the faith that they ought, but they could have it. And so could you, and we all could, and I could have it. We could have this kind of Bible faith that'll get us through our daily life, through the grind of life and the troubles and trials that come into every single one of your lives. I look out amongst you, and I see some of your faces, and I know trial, and I know trouble, and situations in your life, and different difficulties you've had before, and you've overcome them. We can have great faith to overcome these things. Why do so many people quit and run? Because their faith isn't even that small, the size of a mustard seed. So faith is not believing that God can do the impossible. That is not what faith is. Because with God, there's nothing impossible. It doesn't matter if we believe it or not. He can do anything he wants. Except for lie and change his word. He won't do that because he said he wouldn't do it. So faith is simple obedience to the things that God says are possible. That's what faith is. Faith is obedience to what he says is possible and us obeying him and doing right. Day in, day out, doing right. Day in, day out, doing right. That's true faith. Hey, the Christian who struggles with tithing struggles with faith because faith is believing that it's just doing right, doing right, doing right, doing right. And then the more you do right and the more you give God his tithe and his offerings, the more you come out soul winning and the more things go right in your life and you just get that inner joy from the Lord when the struggles come in your life. You have that inner joy because you've been doing and obeying. That's true faith. You get that confidence and that inner confidence that, man, I don't care if everything's going wrong about me. I know I'm doing right. I'm just obeying God. I'm doing right. And that's where that inner faith comes from. That inner, I don't care if the whole world turns against me. I don't care if I lose everything. Inside, I have that inner faith of that God will take care of me no matter what. You know, I might think that I need to be taken care of by having all my bills paid. I might have to be taken care of by having a new car. But that's not how God can take care of you. Don't you desire that inner tranquility, I'm trying to say. That comes from true faith. And it only comes by simple obedience to what God has commanded us to do. You start bucking the system and God's going to give you a couple swift ones and you're not going to have that inner tranquility, that inner faith that you really need. Like the servant, he was only asked to do what was expected of him. This was not cruel, nor was it unfair. This was his job. He was told to make the stuff for me. You make it for me, you're my servant. It wasn't cruel or unfair. Then you can have some after, and that's what God tells us to do. He was only asked to do that was expected of him, and that's all God wants from us. Do what's expected of me, of us. So verse 10 says, when we have done that which was our duty to do. And Ecclesiastes 12:13 wraps it all up. What's it say? It explains what the commandments and duty of man is. What are these simple things we're supposed to do so that we can have this inner faith that'll get us through the worst troubles of our life? Maybe a wife dying, or a husband dying, or a newborn dying, or, God forbid, like some of my friends have gone through, their stillborn baby dying. What is this inner faith that can get you through those things? What is it? Let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear God. And keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You fear God, you do whatever he says, and you'll have that inner tranquility that you need to get through all problems of life. See, faith is obedience to the things we do not understand. I don't understand it, so I'm not doing it. That's what a lot of people think and do. No, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter of the Bible, right? It lists all these people who had great faith. So all this great faith, what they had, what was it? Faith is proven that it's obedience in this chapter right here. Faith is not believing. Faith is obedience and duties. In verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Verse 5, by faith Enoch, he pleased God. By faith Noah moved with fear. He prepared an ark. These are actions. These are duties. These are obediences he did. By faith, Abraham obeyed, and he went out. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. Actions, duties, obedience to the Lord. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both his sons of Joseph. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Actions of his parents. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Action. 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt. Obedience to God. Verse 28, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Action, and the sprinkling of blood. Verse 29, by faith they, oh, I said that one. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed. They went around and they did this ridiculous thing. I think it's ridiculous. I don't know about you walking around a bunch of things and yelling and horns. That's ridiculous. But they obeyed God and the walls fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not when she had what? Received action, despised, and with peace. Verse 32, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson, of Jephthah and of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Verse 34, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. These are all action. The great faith chapter of the Bible that we all know about proves that faith is obedience to God. What in conclusion I want to say, when the apostles asked Jesus to increase their faith, they were literally asking Jesus to give them more faith. He said, give me more faith, Lord. Can you give it to me? Just put it in my pocket. I need some more. He said, no, it don't come that way. You know, it don't come that way. Jesus' answer was probably not what they wanted to hear or cared to hear. He said, here's what he said. Obey what you know to do, for this is your duty. If faith were simply a matter of believing, it would be simple. However, faith is a matter of obeying. Faith is not believing that God can do the impossible, as I said. Rather, here it is, obeying the practical in your everyday living. When the decision time comes, which we all face every day, what decision do we make? Do we make the righteous decision, or do we take the compromise easy way out? I don't got time to pray today, so we don't pray. We took the easy way out. But we're not going to have our faith increased that way because we're commanded to pray. And Daniel, morning, noon, and night. Oh, if I had that testimony. I'd love that testimony. The greatest faith is not the faith that can move mountains, nor is it the kind that can cast a tree in the ocean. Rather, it's the kind that does what it is supposed to do without a lot of fanfare. Like kind of like my Uncle Jim when he comes in this building every Monday after we destroy it. I had him vacuum up here for you, so you wouldn't see that white stuff all over because I know it drives you nuts. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. The kind of faith that finds a certain sweet little girl on that side of the room here unbelievable amount of hours serving the Lord because she knows it's right to do. And her faith gets increased by it over and over and stronger faith. The simple things, and many of yous who are good, godly people in this room tonight, doing the things that God has commanded you to do, and you keep coming year in and year out. And those that aren't having this faith, start obeying the simple things of God, and it'll come. Have you ever heard the guy who walked a tightrope across Niagara Falls? Some of you have heard this illustration. So many people watched him do it. And to them he asked, do you believe I can walk a tightrope across the falls? Just after he did it. And they all replied, yeah! They already seen him do it. Of course they believe he can do it. They seen him do it. He pushed a wheelbarrow on a tightrope across the falls. And when he completed the feat, he asked his onlookers, do you believe I can walk a tightrope across the falls pushing a wheelbarrow? To that, they replied unanimously, yes. Why? Because they just seen him do it. And finally, a buddy of the tightrope walker climbs into the wheelbarrow, and the tightrope walker, he pushes him across the falls. And they walk across. Wow, that's a daring feat, I would believe, you know, getting in that wheelbarrow. And when they finish, the tightrope walker asks the crowd, do you believe that I can walk a tightrope across the falls pushing a wheelbarrow with a person in it? And to that, all the witnesses that seen it happen exclaimed, yes, for they were now believers in this guy's awesome abilities. Then he looked at the crowd, and then he asked, who's next? Now, I think that's what Jesus is asking us today. He's saying, you've seen I provided for all these people. The Old Testament was written for examples. Everyone that put their trust and faith in me, I never let them down. I met all their needs. I've increased their faith. I'm showing you how to have your faith increased tonight. Get in the wheelbarrow. Believe God for the simple things in life. When soul winning Saturday, please come out, men. We had 4 or 5 guys out of 100-and-some men show up on Saturday. I know you're busy and stuff, but what is really important in life, as John said, he tried hard to say, hey, he drives all the way from 1 hour and 20 minutes to be here Saturday. And then one of my dearest friends who's really meant a lot to me in the last couple of years, Mr. Olson, sick as a dog a couple weeks ago, can hardly move. We had to send him home, yet he was here. I think their faith has been increased greatly because of that. And people like Dan York and others, but we need more. We need more. We need all you men to be participants in this. And honestly, I just witness any time. Yeah, but when's the last time you led someone to the Lord then? I'm not trying to put anyone down. And don't take anything wrong I'm saying tonight. I'm not making judgment on anyone because I struggled for a long time about showing up on Saturday too. And I just made a decision one day, no matter what, I'm going to be here. And man, has the Lord increased my faith about what goes on Saturdays. And now Brother Keith and I, we go out later, and we've been having some, Brother Keith Nelly and I going out for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and we've been having some good visits and some good fellowship. And because we're just started obeying the Lord, he's increased my faith in these things. So, as the servant did, you do what you're supposed to do, and God will increase your faith. And I want to ask you tonight, and as we close, and maybe the piano players can come forward, we'll have a little invitation tonight. Just a small invitation, give you an opportunity to maybe come up to the altar if you feel led for maybe something Pastor Seth preached about this morning or something Brother John preached about or something I preached about tonight about having your faith increased. Just afford an opportunity. Or you want to pray for a loved one or whatever. I don't care if no one comes forward. I'm just offering you this opportunity tonight in the house of the Lord. Come forward if you want to do something for God or stay right in your seats. Pray for a loved one. Pray for yourself. Pray, Lord, teach me to obey so I can have my faith increased in enough. You guys got the song, start playing. I'm going to ask you tonight, are you practicing Bible faith? Close your eyes and bow your heads, and if you want to perform, we'll do it in privacy. Are you practicing Bible faith tonight? Are you doing the simple things every day that we should be doing? Are you getting up in the morning and talking to God, getting in the Word? And like Pastor Cole does so many times, he'll say, no, for years and years, he said, if I don't read my Bible, I don't eat breakfast. Are you reading the Bible every day? Are you making right decisions every day? When you have a choice of doing two things, is the decision you do one that pleases the Lord? How about with your finances? Are you honest with your finances? I don't know what Brother Mike preached in Sunday school this morning, but I'm sure it was maybe something about finances. I don't know. I was on the bus. But are you honest with your finances? Are your business dealings honest? You're not going to have increased faith if you have a dishonest business life. It's not going to happen. And not just those in business, don't take me wrong. I mean, every one of us, our business, paying our bills, cheating and whatever. These are simple things that the Lord has commanded us to do. The simple things that will increase our faith. Are you praying for your loved ones, those that are unsaved? I know my Uncle Jim, I love him dearly. He means a lot to me, led me to the Lord and encouraged me over these 20 years I've been coming to Faith Bible Baptist Church. And there's one thing I know about my Uncle Jim. He cares about his family and him being saved. And you know, he just did a major thing this week. If you've read the prayer list, he did something that I believe will increase his faith. He finally said, Lord, I am leaving my family to you for their salvation. He's been praying for him. He's been praying for his son and his daughters and his grandchildren for years, years and years, and relatives. And he's concerned about them. How about you? John, Mr. Updegrove really preached a good message on hell. Who cares if sinners go to hell? Sometimes I have to say, I don't care. I don't care. The altar's still open.